With you. Welcome, welcome in the name of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus. We come into God's house. This is nearing the end of our Epiphany season. It's been long this year. We've gotten to see the manifestations of God in the flesh, in the person and work of Jesus Christ. Today, we also celebrate God's gift of life. Our God is a God of life, not a God of death. And we pray that that God-given message of life would be yours today and always. A couple of words on our worship service for today. Our opening hymn is number 575, My Hope is Built on Nothing Less. Following that hymn, we'll follow Divine Service Setting 3, page 184 and following. Have a worship insert. Readings are on one side, the propers are on the other. We'll make sure we're on the right page at the right time. Before we sing, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, author and giver of life, we thank you, Lord, for the gift of life for us, for our families, for our congregation, for the world. Heavenly Father, teach us today a proper attitude about life, an attitude that comes not from the world, not from the latest political guru, not from the fads of culture, but from your word. For your word is truth. Heavenly Father, all these things we pray in the name of the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. Hymn 575.
Thank you. divine service setting 3, page 184 in your hymnal, page 184. Please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave me.
O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of
upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead, by the command of our Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
This time I invite you to turn to the introit as it's listed in our bulletin. We'll sing it together.
Amen.
us pray. Almighty God, you know we live in the midst of so many dangers that in our frailty we cannot stand upright. Grant strength and protection to support us in all dangers and carry us through all temptations. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. The Old Testament reading for the fourth Sunday after the Epiphany is from Jonah chapter 1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me." But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went on board to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship threatened to break up. Then the mariners were afraid, and each cried out to his God, and they hurled the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the ship and had laid down and was fast asleep. So the captain came and said to him, "What do you mean, you sleeper? Arise, call out to your God. Perhaps the God will give a thought to us, that we may not perish." And they said to one another, "Come, let us cast lots, that we may know on whose account this evil has come upon us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, "Tell us on whose account this evil has come upon us. What is your occupation, and where do you come from? What is your country, and of what people are you?" And he said to them, "I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, "What is this that you have done?" For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then they said to him, "What shall we do to you, that the sea may quiet down for us?" For the sea grew more and more tempestuous. He said to them, "Pick me up and hurl me into the sea. Then the sea will quiet down for you. For I know it is because of me that this great tempest has come upon you." Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to get back to dry land, but they could not, for the sea grew more and more tempestuous against them. Therefore they called out to the Lord, "O Lord, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not on us innocent blood. For you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you." So they picked up Jonah and hurled him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle is from Romans chapter 8. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself would be set free from its bondage to decay and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel, the Alleluia and verse. Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 8th chapter. When Jesus got into the boat, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great storm on the sea, so that the boat was being swamped by the waves. But he was asleep. And they went and woke him, saying, "Save us, Lord, we are perishing." And he said to them, "Why are you afraid, O you of little faith?" Then he rose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. And the men marveled, saying, "What sort of man is this, that even the winds and sea obey him?" This is the gospel of our Lord. We confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and his Son, who with the Father and his Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
You may be seated for the hymn of the day, number 754. Thank you.
love, and mercy from God our Father, through Jesus Christ, our risen Savior and Lord. Amen. Text for our meditation this morning, the epistle we heard a moment ago from Romans 8, especially these words, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us." Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, Christians are an odd lot. The world does not know what to do with Christians. The world doesn't know whether to take them serious or not. It can't comprehend what makes a Christian a true Christian tick. And really, you can pull it into two different categories. The world looks at a Christian and they can't understand the gospel, the good news, the free gift of forgiveness, life, and salvation through Jesus Christ. Can't comprehend it. It's crazy. It's nuts. It's absurd. The world looks at a Christian and the world cannot comprehend that someone could actually order their life, their thinking, their attitude, based not on the things of this world, not on a profit or loss statement, not on what makes you feel good or feel bad, but to base their attitude and their life on the Bible, the Word of God. People look at Christians and it seems like absolute, utter foolishness. We look strange to the rest of the world. My friends, the strangest attitude of all with regard to Christians is the attitude toward death. The world either wants to completely ignore the topic or to look at death through rose-colored glasses. Christians know that our greatest hope is life everlasting. Christians know that our greatest enemy is death. Death is the last enemy to be defeated, and it has been defeated by the life, death, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Christians don't fear death. We laugh at it. We pray for it. Deliver us from evil. We celebrate when one of our members, like yesterday, is transferred from this evil world that we live in to the mansion prepared for him in heaven, prepared by the blood of Jesus Christ. My friends, the world looks at you with regard to your trust in the gospel, with your reliance on God's word to shape your mind and heart and life, and the world laughs. The world mocks. My friends, today we look at God's word from Romans chapter 8. We see that all of these things that we cling to, the good news of the gospel, trusting God's word to mold and shape our life, these things sometimes seem to be elusive, far away, distant, God's word says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us." This glory that's coming in the future. Wait a minute. I thought the gospel was complete now, and yet something's going to be revealed to me in the future. What's lacking? What's missing? And then at the end of our text, "And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, grown inwardly as we wait eagerly for the adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies." Well, wait a minute. Do we have this gift of salvation or not? Do we have it now, or is it something that's coming in the future? Is it complete, or is it incomplete? What am I waiting for? What is this hope that's going to be revealed? How easy it is as we live in this world to question, to doubt, maybe even to think that God is somehow holding back or holding out on us. My friends, perish the thought. There is absolutely nothing lacking from God with regard to our salvation. Nothing. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away some sin." No. "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." As Jesus hung naked, dying, suspended between heaven and earth on that Friday we call Good, Jesus didn't say, "It's partially done." He said, "It is finished." My friends, there is nothing lacking with regard to what God has done for you in your salvation. My friends, there is nothing lacking with regard to what we need to add or supply. If someone says God's done his part and now the rest is up to you, that's a lie. The great rallying cry of the Reformation, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one can boast." Your salvation is a free gift of God, pure grace. There is nothing you can or need do to add to it. There is nothing lacking with regard to the faith and hope that God has given us, delivered to us in the waters of holy baptism as he called us to faith. Nothing lacking in any way, shape, or form. Romans 8, just a little bit before our text. "The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we also may be glorified with him." Being a child of God is not some future event. It is a present reality. By grace, through faith, you are a child of God. Colossians 1. "He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption," the forgiveness of sins. And a little bit later in Romans 8, God says, "Nothing, Nothing can separate you from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ our Lord. My friends, there is nothing lacking from God with regard to salvation. There is nothing lacking from you with regard to our salvation. There is nothing lacking with regard to the hope and trust and glory that God has given us. This salvation is ours, pure, free. Without it, we would only doubt and despair. We have it. We own it. In today's vernacular, you might say, you have clear title. There is no dispute in any way, shape, or form. And yet, one of the great mysteries of the faith, we have it now, a present reality. And yet what God has in store for us in the future is even greater. The glory that is to be revealed to us in the joys of heaven. No more pain, no more suffering, no more sinful, evil world around us. We have it now, and we have it not yet. Our text for today teaches us, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, that as we are in the now and not yet, we wait. And oftentimes, it is a painful waiting. God's word says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time." This is where we live, isn't it? The sufferings of this present time. The devil, the world, and our sinful flesh constantly attacking us and tempting us. The sufferings of this present world. Our bodies, as we age and fall apart, groaning. All creation groaning in eager expectation. The sufferings of this present world are real. And we groan inwardly, collectively, universally. We groan in anticipation of the glory that is to be revealed to us. My friends, this waiting is real, and this waiting is often painful. One of the reasons why it is painful is that the voices of our culture, the voices of this world, get louder and louder and louder every day. So if to drown out the word of God in your head, in your heart, in your life, we live in a country, we live in a culture, we live in a world that is literally slouching toward Sodom and Gomorrah. We live in a culture that is infatuated with death, but not the same way that a Christian is. A Christian knows that death is the enemy. A Christian laughs at death because Christ has destroyed death. But our world looks at death as a friend. Something to embrace, something to encourage. How in the world did we get to the point where suicide was looked upon as a good thing or a blessing? Pulling the plug on grandma or grandpa is now a benefit to society. After all, euthanasia does mean happy death. Abortion is so common, People rarely even think about it. It has put us in a quandary. Abortion is in the mainstream. We, brothers and sisters in Christ, are not to speak up for life. Puts us immediately on the defensive and on our heels. Oh, you're all about politics. That's taboo in the church. My friends, we have been forced and shamed and pushed and tricked and lied to the point where we are afraid to let God's word shape our attitude, our opinion, our life, because we have listened more and more and more to the voices of this world. There was a little blip on the screen this week. Perhaps you noticed it. Events in New York and Virginia shocked and outraged people. In New York, a bill was passed to remove all restrictions with regard to abortion. Abortion could be completed, accomplished, up until the very moment of delivery. And the people cheered, and the pink lights went on, and everybody celebrated this newfound freedom. And when confronted with the possibility, what happens if the baby is born before the lethal injection can happen or takes place? Well, take that baby and make it comfortable, and then the mom can decide. Abortion is now infanticide, and people defended their comments in New York and in Virginia and in Illinois and in Rhode Island and in Delaware and in Arizona, and it is spreading like a plague. People were outraged. Even pro-choice people had to draw the line. My friends, why now? Why wouldn't an abortion at 30 or 32 or even post-birth be any more horrific than one that is done at 20 weeks or 15 weeks, at 6 weeks? What is it that has shaped our mind and our heart and our attitude? Is it politics? Is it public opinion? Is it what benefits me? Or is it the Word of God? People of God, it is time for us to repent because we do not trust the Word of God. We do not trust the gospel full and free. We do not trust that God's Word can and will shape our hearts and our minds and our attitudes. We look to all the wrong things as a solution to our world's infatuation with death. Politicians change laws. God's word changes hearts. Where should we focus our attitudes and our efforts? The life-giving and life-changing word of God. My friends, it is time for us to speak up. To speak loudly and to speak boldly. People were outraged with the events of Virginia and New York this last week. Did you know that there are other states that have zero restrictions with regard to the timeline of abortions, all the way up to birth and maybe even beyond? Alaska, Colorado, Mississippi, New Hampshire, New Jersey, New Mexico, Oregon, Vermont, West Virginia, the District of Columbia. At least a dozen states are planning on following suit. Nobody knows for sure, but the estimate is that 56 million babies were aborted worldwide last year. 56 million. My friends, brothers and sisters in Christ, have we simply given up and conformed to the voices of the world? Or as true Christians, do we believe the gospel of Jesus Christ? That gospel that is foolishness to the world, but it is life. Life everlasting through the gift of God. 1 Corinthians 1, for Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews, a folly to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. We wait for the glory of God to be revealed to us when He calls us home. At times it is a painful waiting. And as we wait patiently, trusting the Word of God. We pray with boldness and confidence, knowing that God hears our prayers and answers our prayers. We confess God's word in its truth and purity to a world, whether they want to hear it or not, because we know it is life and we know it is true. And as we wait, we hope, because we know that our hope is not in princes or presidents or congressmen or judges, but it is the Lord Jesus Christ who has conquered death and the grave for me and for you and for the life of the world. My friends, may God grant this to you and to me and to all. Thanks be to God. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts, our minds, our faith, our attitude in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. God is a gift-giving God, and He continually gives us the gift of a new heart. We stand now and sing the offertory, page 192. Seated. Again, welcome. Welcome in the name of Jesus, the Lord and giver of life. This time we ask that you participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. Pat at the end of each row, please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship this day. Special word of welcome to those who are worshiping on the radio or on the internet. We pray that the good news of life, forgiveness, life and salvation, eternal life, full life now in Jesus Christ would be yours today and always. We worship God now with our gifts and offerings.
We continue with the prayer of the church. Please stand. In addition to those prayer requests listed in our bulletin, we have three additional ones. We pray for Harlan Chamberlain, who is hospitalized. We pray also for the family of Mark Schlamann at the passing away of his grandfather, and also for the family of Jeff, friend of Jim Stepp, who was killed in an accident. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs, responding, Lord, have mercy. For the holy church on earth, that all who seek refuge from the many storms they encounter in this sinful world would find refuge in her, and that all of her children would never cease giving thanks to the Lord, whose steadfast love endures forever, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the office of the holy ministry, that all who are called to serve in Christ's stead and by his command would be strengthened to carry out their duties, especially when tempted to be reluctant and doubtful about what they are called to do, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all Christians who are experiencing difficult times of trial and temptation, that they would be comforted by our Lord's gracious promises revealed to us in his holy precious word, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our congregation, that we would love one another as Christ had loved us, and that we would generously support the mission and ministry done among us and throughout the world, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
for all of those who have been placed in authority over us, that they would always have the common welfare of all in mind as they govern. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For your good gift of life given to us, God, that we might uphold it and support it in all the ways possible in this world. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the sick and the suffering, especially those in our own midst, including Laverne Meyer, Mark, Bryn, Lucas, Victor, Matthew, Lois, Ralph, Pastor Russert, Brian, Pam, Harlan, and all others whom we name in our hearts. That they would cry to the Lord in their trouble and be delivered from their distress according to his will. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who come to the table of our Lord today, that receiving Christ's very body and blood, they would be strengthened and preserved in the true faith unto life everlasting. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all of the saints who have gone before us and now rest from their labors, especially Al Bach, the grandfather of Mark Schlamann, Jeff, friend of Jim Stepp, and all others whom we name in our hearts, that their families might find comfort in the resurrection and the life, and that we might see them again with you in your kingdom. We give thanks for you for their lives, and we wait with them until the Lord returns in glory on the last day. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit as one God, now and forever.
Amen.
We continue with the service of the sacrament, page 194.
The Lord be with you.
And with our spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. For what had been hidden from before the foundation of the world, you have made known to the nations in your Son, in him being found in the substance of our mortal nature. You have manifested the fullness of your glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, holy, holy Lord God of heaven and earth, heaven and earth are full of thy glory.
Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive
Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sin. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
Body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen.
Please stand as we sing.
Oh.
give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with our spirit.
Bless be the Lord. Bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
And get some goodies. We're running a little bit late. Come back in. We'll have a short Sunday school opening as soon as everybody gets their bellies full. You're all invited. Coffee and goodies in the fellowship hall. And we have lots and lots of cake and other goodies left over from the funeral yesterday. So please join us. Fellowship time in the fellowship hall. We have two opportunities for Bible study this morning. We'll continue our study of Romans. We'll start Romans chapter 3 today. Summary of Christian Doctrine, room 109. What are you studying, Pastor?
Looking at the office of the keys.
The office of the keys. Locking and unlocking heaven. Pretty cool stuff. All right. Check out the Good Shepherd news and notes. I'm not going to read them to you. A lot of things going on this week. The biggie is the pecan pancake feed, a great way to support life. Pediatric Cancer Action Network, we need lots of volunteers. We'll need some volunteers today after Bible study to start setting up tables and chairs in the fellowship hall. So if you can help great. Check out all the other activities. I know they're selling tickets for the radio fundraiser that's coming up at the end of the month. Stop the Bleed class Thursday night this week. Lots of stuff. Check it out. Plug yourself in where you can.
At the end of the hallway starting today and for the next month or so, we are taking pictures for the photo directory. That's all the way down, and the first Sunday school room that's down there on the left side of the stairway. That's where pictures are being taken, so feel free to stop in today or next week or whatnot.
Room 106.
There we go.
Room 106. So the more folks we can have get their pictures taken today, the less we have to worry about it next week.
And you all look beautiful, I can tell you that. So
you look marvelous.
That's
marvelous.
Right.
Have a great day and week, and enjoy the life, the precious life that God has given you.